here's the beautiful thing about it. You can develop an internal motivation. You can develop an internal drive.
Winning habits, winning routines, and a winning mindset.
You're the main character of your own life story.
Welcome to the Susan Sly Project, where entrepreneurs rule, startups launch, and the side hustle becomes the main hustle. Ladies and gentlemen, your host, Susan Sly.
Okay, everyone. Well, welcome to live coaching for side hustlers. And you're here because you have a business, you're thinking of starting a business, you've got a side hustle, or maybe more than one. And sometimes it's messy. And I think we all agree that, especially with what is going on now, where some of you are living in states where they've extended stay at home, some of you are living in places where they're opening up, there's a lot of confusion, and there's also a lot of opportunity. And I'm so excited today. I invited a coach to come coach with me, and Matt Rush, he has been quoted in Forbes and Entrepreneur and all of the big ones. He is an amazing author and a speaker. He just wrote a book called Stress Free You, which everyone's going to get. Because who doesn't want to be stress-free, right?
Right. You just got a new box in, too.
Excellent. Yeah, we'll talk about that. Matt and I recorded a show yesterday. It's going to be released Monday. You guys have to check it out. So as we get into some questions, I'm just going to do a few quick announcements. So first and foremost, we have live coaching going on through COVID. Right? So showing up to serve and answer your questions in sales and marketing and business and mindset. So please feel free to share this with your friends. And, you know, it's just this time to really serve and help all of you. We have the Ultimate Marketing Experience coming up here in Arizona. That's going to happen on September 24th through to the 27th. And I was just yesterday actually with some of the trainers. So Jeffrey from JR Garage, he has over 1.1 million YouTube followers. He was a millionaire at age 16. He is monetizing on TikTok, on YouTube. He also makes a significant fortune on eBay as a numismatist. So he sells rare coins. This kid right now, 20 years old, he has 31 cars in his collection. He rents them out. And he was telling me stories last night of, he bought an Aston Martin for $24,000. He bought a Lamborghini for $36,000. And he was sharing how he buys these cars at auctions. And then sometimes they just need a little thing. And then suddenly, you know, he has these cars. Spot a plane. He's the most humble kid. So you're going to learn from him how to really create a massive brand on YouTube and TikTok. So he's going to be training Casey Adams. I was with Casey last night. Casey has the number one podcast in the world for Gen Z. He's going to be training there. Kieran O'Brien is going to be teaching you how to optimize your LinkedIn, or sorry, your Instagram and your Facebook ads. We do have a payment plan going on for you and me. There's a whole bunch of other trainers too, including Matt is going to be there, which is going to be awesome. And we have a payment plan going on for all of you, just because we understand that that, you know, might be essential. But you can go to susansly.com or agency8.com, go under events, reserve your spot. We are limiting spots because we are allowing people, if they choose to socially distance, you can wear a mask the whole time. You can type on your laptop and wear a mask. We'll have two nurse practitioners in the room doing fever checks. It's going to be absolutely amazing. And if you guys have asked the question, we can't take a lot more people. We just sold, I think, 4 more tickets this week. Some of you have said, well, if we're traveling from Canada or whatever and the border's not open, will we get a refund? Of course you will. Of course you will. You know, of course. Yes. So that is coming up. So anyway, with that, let's get into it. Matt, you know, let's just kick things off. What are you observing with business owners right now in stress and how people are managing their stress?
You want to talk about a different world right now. Who could have ever even thought of or seen anything like this ever even thought? We couldn't have even thought about anything like this happening before. So from a business owner standpoint, whether it be a small business, whether it be someone working for a business, it's running the gamut right now. Two things that I think we see. Number one, we're experiencing something mutually that we've never experienced before all the way around the globe. Like if you've ever felt alone in your life, this is not a time to be alone, because we're all in this boat together. We're all impacted by this. We're all experiencing that. The other thing that I see, and it really has come to light with some of the content that we put into the book, and that is people have two options when they get under a severe amount of stress. We either have the ability to go into fight, flight, or freeze mode, or we get into rest, digest, and repair mode, which is our normal daily mode of operation, or it should be. But so many times when these business owners get under stress, we just freeze. And it really doesn't even have to apply to just this point in time right now. It really has applied forever. You can see the people who really get out there and make things happen. And then you see the groups of people that have something happen to them, and then they just shut down, they run away, or they get into this angry mode where they just can't handle anything else. So that's really, it's kind of, we've seen this from the beginning of time. Now it's just expounded onto a global scale. And I still say the situation, the reaction is the same. No matter the stress, we have that choice of what we're going to do with it.
Absolutely. And you and I were talking yesterday, there are great businesses that are being formed right now. We were talking about Jocko Willink. You know, he's this, you know, hardcore ex-military guy, and no one could buy weights, right? And my husband was lamenting this when the gym closed down. And so Jocko comes out with these two leather bags that you fill up with, you can fill them with, you know, cement dust, with sand, with gravel. And suddenly you got these kettlebells and yeah, selling like crazy. I think it's $75 a piece or something. That business didn't exist 12 weeks ago. And the thing I would say to all of you is, this is not the time to procrastinate on taking your idea to implementation, because a lot of people agree that there could be another surge. So even the places that are open, they might get closed down again, you know, all these things. And really thinking about your future self 5 years from now, what does your future self want to look back and say, hey, I'm proud of you because you did this, fill in the blank, despite of this, fill in the blank. All right, who's got the first question? Matt, this is so fun. We get to,
I love it. We
don't even know what people are going to ask. So who's got the first one?
No pressure.
It could be sales. It could be marketing. I know someone messaged a question in. Who's got the first question? We are ready for you, Matt and I. Who wants to be bold and step up? And just remember, if you have a question and you're nervous to ask it, you can always chat it to me and I won't say your name. I'll just say what the question is. So, and think of it this way.
I have a question.
Go for it.
Okay. And I am nervous, but I've been wanting to ask. So I have a network marketing business and I have for the last over 8 years. And personally, like my personal sales are great. They've even been up over the last 2 months. But my biggest, I guess what I'm wanting some coaching on is the biggest area of lack in my business is what my team is doing. Mm-hmm. Or what they're not doing, I should say. And like I have recruited new consultants on my team over the last 8 years. I probably have, I don't know, at the moment, maybe a couple dozen who have a consultant membership on my team. But to be completely honest, there's maybe one who's actually wanting to move her business forward. And so I'm working closely with her. And I think a big part of it is my mentorship that I had. I've gone through a lot of personal growth over the last specifically year and a half, and really through that realized that the person I was getting mentorship from, I saw a lot of things that I didn't like and that I realized I didn't want to continue to pass down to my team. And so I've pulled away from that. Lots of things that just weren't healthy. I listened to your video earlier in the week. You said, you know, you used to have that mentality of, if it's meant to be, it's up to me. Mm-hmm. And you've had to change that to really thinking about the team. And that's kind of the mentality that I was being taught before. So I'm having to make this shift, and I'm really wanting to create this new culture. And you mentioned, you know, when you had to make that shift, you really dove into, you know, specific books, and you mentioned Jim Rohn. And so I guess my question is, what would be your, you know, biggest recommendations for me to focus on to really create that conversion and, you know, getting these, because I right now I'm talking to people about this business opportunity. There's people looking at it. There's people who are considering it. What would be your biggest tips for me in light of the journey I've been on and where I'm at and just moving that forward?
I think it's a great question. And I want to generalize it. I'm going to punt it to Matt to talk about bless and forgive. And then I'm going to talk about systems, right? So it doesn't matter what business we're in, whether we've got a staff of people. So in two of my businesses, I have a staff of people, a global staff. In one of my companies, I have people who work for us in the Ukraine and India and Silicon Valley and, you know, all over the world. And then you know, in another company, we have people working in three countries. So whether you're trying to create a culture in a staff or you're trying to create a culture in an organization, as an example, you know, when there's, you know, and Heather, one of the things you spoke about is this, the, you know, the situation of this, the mentorship. And what I'm hearing your voice a little bit is that there's a part of the question is, how do I move forward? And then part of it is really around still, you know, spending time talking about that story. So Matt, I want to punt it to you to talk about bless and forgive, right? Because, you know, you have a great story of something that happened to your wife last fall.
Ooh, we did. Last fall, it was, it had concluded probably the craziest travel schedule of my speaking career. I had been gone on the road, not a solid 6 weeks, but out of 6 weeks, I had only been home maybe 6 days out of those 6 weeks. We were excited about it. We got through it. We knew it was going to be hard, but we were excited about it. I was so ready to come home, though, as you can imagine. And at the end of that 6 week run, I'd finished up a 4 days of training in Shreveport, Louisiana. I came back to Dallas, Texas, did a speech on a Saturday morning. Saturday night, I did a keynote at a banquet outside of Fort Worth, Texas, which is about a 5 hour drive home for me. I actually had a flight home, but I thought, you know what? I'm just going to rent a car as soon as my speech is done. I'm coming home because I was ready to be home and be with my wife. And after the end of that speech and after the end of that banquet, I realized I was too tired to drive home. Called Katie, told her, she understood. My wife is a wedding and event planner. So at the end of her, I went back to my hotel room, was going to rest and then get up early. At the end of her event, she called me, as she always does, and as she just had got on the road to head home from her event. We've checked the records. We were not on the phone 3 minutes. And all of a sudden, I hear her scream. I hear the airbags go off, and I hear, and then there's a disconnect because she was on Bluetooth. So a drunk driver had ran a stop sign, and she hit her brakes just quick enough to T-bone them versus them T-boning her. It caused a significant amount of stress, as you can imagine, in my world. I obviously knew there was no going back to sleep for me. I just thought my wife had died while I was on the phone with her. And I still get emotional when I talk about it. She had the fortitude and the mental courage to send me some text messages because she couldn't get her phone to work because of the wreck and la, la, la. But she just said, wreck, airbags, I'm okay. And I can't remember what the fourth one was, but instantly head on the road home. I went through a period of time after that, and this is full on honesty here, that it was hard for me to get back in the game, right? And you're talking about how do you work on yourself and then how do you lead people? And we have these stresses that happen to ourselves. And really and truly, I didn't experience the freedom until I actually asked for some help from a professional. Like as a coach, I realized, I need some help. Things aren't going right. This department up here, not working right. And I had some emotions and some feelings that weren't correct. And I knew they weren't. So as a trainer, a speaker, a coach, I'm like, I need help. And within that, there was a huge message of blessing and forgiving, and I needed to forgive those people for what they did to my wife, but also to me, because I was mad about that part too. And I got to tell you, Heather, excuse me, the freedom that came from that was unbelievable. And part of what I want to tell you is within, when we're coaching teams and when we're trying to lead teams, sometimes we get so introspective and we start looking at what we need to do and what we're doing wrong and what these feelings that we're having, that we forget what the big picture is and actually maybe what the people we're working with actually want or need. We don't ask their why. We don't make that connection with them and meet them on their level. We want them to be at our level, and we want to increase our level, and then we just expect them to come along with us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
For me, it's like, okay, Heather, number one, I say I can sum up all leadership training in three words, and that's get over yourself. The day you realize it's not about you, it's about the other people, then that's the day everything starts to change for you. So start looking at your people and finding out on a personal level, what do they want? But, and this was the whole concept behind the stress, this book on stress, if we don't help them deal with stresses first, stress is an emotion. Emotion will beat fact every time. So we got to deal with emotion first, so then we can start putting in the facts that you're obviously wanting to learn and know, or you wouldn't be on the air. So that's kind of, does that make sense?
It's good. It's good, Matt. And in order for us to move forward, and part of Matt's story is after he came through the forgiveness, that's where he gave birth to the book. And then his speaking career is amping up, and then COVID hits. And then when you're a speaker and something like that, and all the events get canceled and everything, it's really a time that you have a choice, but you can't be a victor and a victim at the same time. And Heather, I would say my advice to you is you get to. Write that down, everyone. I get to. So I get to create a culture in my organization that is, and then you write out five things that you want to be known for. I would say, you know, that a culture that's positive, that's uplifting, that encourages people, whatever it is. And then create a vision statement for your organization. So my direct sales business, there's a vision statement that I created for that business, right? Every business should have a vision statement. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing is, I love what Matt said, meeting people where they're at. I would say, gather your leaders up and do Gary Chapman's five love languages. Ooh. Because who are we to assume how someone wants to be recognized, right? So, you know, let's say Heather, as an example, you know, let's say you're, you know, I'm in your organization and my love language is words of appreciation and you send me gifts. I might be weird about receiving gifts, but all I need is that a girl, Susan, right? And so getting to know your leaders, and you get to create what it is you want. You get to take a look at the best of the best and go, you know what? I'm going to take the best of the best system from this, and I'm going to take the best of the best system from this, and we're going to embrace it. And that's what we're going to do. I think the biggest challenge that I see in network marketing is expectation. There is no expectation of the person who enrolled you to actually do anything for you, because I don't care what company it is, you're an independent associate. And so there's this, you know, I see a lot of people who are bitter, and Matt and I were talking about this. So their spirit animal is Oscar the Grouch, and they're so bitter about everything. They pop out of their garbage can and they're just like, complain, complain, complain. The reality is that they, you know, people complain, oh, where I'm positioned, or I'm on an inside leg, or my sponsor didn't do anything. What is this? Codependent anonymous? No, you're an independent associate. You get to, this is a Susan rant, right? We call these, Matt. To create what it is you want. You get to create what it is you want. And Heather, you're very, very blessed because this is a great question. You're coming through this. You're saying, okay, I didn't like this, but I've got to bless it and release it. Now I get to move forward and I get to create the systems. I get to know my leaders. I get to create a culture that is all our own, which is awesome. Great question.
Love it.
All right. Does that help? Ralph's like, I love when you put on the pointy shoes. Did anyone else get benefit from that answer? Did anyone else get benefit? Heather, great question. Thank you for being bold and jumping out. Yes, we got a lot of yeses happening. Who else has the next question? All right, I've got a private one. All right, here we go, Matt. I am an introvert. How do you lead and motivate people when you are not a talker and you haven't had success before? So, you know, one thing I'm going to start, and then Matt and I were doing football analogies. We're already best friends. So, you know, we're there. One of the things people may not know is I'm actually an introvert too, but I'm a selective extrovert. So things like cocktail parties, they freak me out. I'm like, and I've had to almost imagine, just like when people play a video game, they get an avatar. So I almost have to go into that situation as an avatar of myself. We all have a range of personality, right? So I can be on a stage, you know, some of you are like, well, you're on a stage, Tony Robbins, or there's 20,000 people. Yes. I can do that because when we put being an introvert first, it is very selfish because we all have God-given gifts. And I realized that, and Matt and I were talking about this yesterday, that when I'm on a stage or when I'm showing up to serve, I don't know what questions. We don't have a producer yet who screens you all. So I don't know what you're going to ask. That I don't know what's going to happen, but what I do is I say, okay, God, use me as you will, because being a natural introvert as I am, which I know some of you are shocked to find this out, if I stay like that, it's very selfish because I'm not sharing the gifts that I'm meant to share. And I know, Matt, you want to jump out here too.
I do. And I have something that, like you, no one would believe that. And when I make this statement, even though I've out of the group that's on here, I don't know if I've met anyone on this call, but I can guarantee it. Most of you have already said, we can tell that dude's an extrovert. And I'm like, yes, that is absolutely true. I am very much an extrovert, but I'm an introverted extrovert, which means if you look that up, if you do a personality study, I can be the life of the party. I can bring energy like no one else. I love that. But then when I am done and I'm ready to leave. I love the stage. I love being in front of people. I love helping people, but then I can go back to my own little world and do my own little thing for days on end. And it just doesn't bother me at all.
Yeah.
And part of that comes from, I grew up on a farm and a ranch in the middle of nowhere, New Mexico. So we spent the majority of our growing up years, you know, out in the middle of nowhere by ourselves. So I know that that's where part of that came from. And so people always ask me right before you go on stage, they always say, oh, do you get nervous? Do you get nervous? And I'm like, yes, I still get nervous to this day. And I was told as early on in my career from a guy that I just adore, kind of my hero in the speaking world. He said, the day you stop getting nervous is the day you need to quit because that means you don't care. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, that's good. At the same time, what I'm also going to tell you, if you're an introvert and you're so worried that you're an introvert, so you don't want to talk to anybody because you're the introvert, I'm like, okay, what were those three words I just said a while ago? Get over yourself, right? It's not about you. When you start getting nervous and turning in like that, that you're making it about you. It's not about you. It should be about what we're trying to do, be, have, accomplish, how we can help and serve someone else. And the day you can flip your mindset around to where, hey, how can I serve? Everything changes. And like Susan said earlier, like what Katie's wreck was in August, and that was a process of healing. And then we had, I came down with a freak bacterial infection and put me in the hospital for a good while in January into December, first part of January. And then this happens. And the introvert in me becomes very strong at this point because you kind of just get overloaded with this stress stuff, right? I mean, let's be honest, it happens to us too. Just because we can be a leader and in front of a group doesn't mean it doesn't happen to us. And yet, if it hadn't happened, we wouldn't have finished the book. We wouldn't have launched a new, we're on the verge of launching a new coaching program, a new training program, all online. We can go global with it. It's like, okay, I got over myself and figured out, hey, I can't stay introverted through this whole experience. And just because of what's happened to me, it's how am I going to handle it and deal and be able to bless somebody else?
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so many for the people who are here live, like the chat is blowing up and people are going, you know, I can so relate to that. I'll tell you guys, so many times I've done a speaking event and then I go to my hotel room and I'm done. I sit there and I decompress and I'll pray and I'll meditate. And then I watch like Netflix. And I'll tell you a story. So I was asked to go do a speaking event in London last year. So Chris and I are like, yes, London. And the company's, you know, paying like first class airfare. And, you know, we're like, yeah. So we drop the kids off at Opa and Grandma's, Chris's parents in Canada. And we head over. And so the first night there was a cocktail reception, VIP reception. I'm sure you've done a lot of those, Matt. And, you know, I'm meeting people. And then suddenly they're like, oh, Susan, can you say a few words? It's like, okay. So suddenly, you know, I didn't have anything prepared. I'm like, sometimes, like you guys have heard me say, ego stands for edging God out. Wayne Dyer used to say that, right? So I'm like, okay, God, I'll just, you know, say whatever. And sometimes it's not like anything profound, just as an example. Then we're training the next day. And then, you know, I'm training and I'm giving and then there's photos and people are like, oh, can you do a quick video for my son who couldn't be here? And I say, yes, at any speaking event, I'm always the speaker out on the floor with the line, signing the books, doing this stuff. And we had Sunday off, Matt. And, you know, and before we were flying back and Chris and I were going to take the train to Paris and I couldn't do it. I said, babe, I gave and I gave and I just can't. So all we did was just walk around London. Then we stopped in a pub and watched Formula One where it was so loud. I didn't have to talk. And sometimes, and I want to say this to everyone, you know, Matt has a podcast show. I have a show. By the time I do all the Zooms in the week, sometimes I'm in front of 1,000 people online and just taking that time just to be still, to be quiet, just to regroup. We all go through that. So I love, that's such a great question. And to the person I know who asked that, love you for asking that because it opens up permission for every entrepreneur here. So thank you for that. All right. We have another question. Okay. All right, Matt, I'm teeing you up for this one.
Okay. Sounds good.
I've created some goals during the past 2 months and find myself feeling overwhelmed and not following through or starting and stopping.
Oh, has anyone else ever dealt with this? Please raise your hand. Right. I mean, it's a great question because we've all done that. I am blessed to work with a family that I adore and I respect because of who they are and where they came from, and that is the Zig Ziglar family. For those of you that know who Mr. Ziglar was, I mean, literally, still to this day is the highest paid non-celebrity speaker there's ever been. At the height of his career, get this, In the you know, late 80s, really the 90s, early part of the 2000, height of his career, he was making $100,000 a speech in the 90s. Can you imagine that deal? And he was booked 2 years in advance.
And that's like $1 million now.
It's like, oh, the power of a zero.
Well, our money's not going to be worth that much because we're adding zeros right on computers, right? Like,
oh,
anyway.
True.
And hey, Katie Rush, I see the beautiful Katie's here.
Hey, that's my wife.
Hey, girl.
I told her to get on here and critique me too. So to answer the question though, Mr. Ziglar has a 7-step goal setting formula that I think is the most absolute amazing goal setting formula there is. I feel like it's the basis of what everybody else builds theirs off of. And really, Mr. Ziegler says, you know, you've got to break it down into incremental steps. And we do these activities, and I'll put two marks on a floor a long ways apart and ask somebody to run and jump from one to the other. And they try and they fail, and we laugh and make jokes or whatever. And then I'm like, I said to jump from one to the other, and I'd get over there and I'd take these little incremental little bitty hops. In other words, if you've got something that you're not able to accomplish or achieve, then you've obviously tried to package it too big. So step back and break it down into some incremental little steps that you can do on a daily basis. Number one, that gets you some victories. And hello, don't we all just need a few victories? And then you can build on that. And you'll notice that as you get some of those little things done, making those little steps, then before you know it, you've got the whole thing written. You don't sit down and write a book. You sit down and you write a sentence that's composed into a paragraph, that's composed into a chapter, that one after the other ends up being this. So most people say, oh, I could never write a book, because they're looking at a finished product. They don't see that it took one word after another.
Well, and if they say that to you, Matt, I could never start a business. I could never write a book. I could never find my soulmate. Well, speaking shall happen, right? Backing up the language, you know?
That's right. Hey, and we always use a passage out of the book of Joel in the Old Testament, and it says, let the weak say, I am strong. So it is what you put out is obviously what you're going to be. If you say you can't, you are absolutely 100% correct. That's not going to be the case. But there's also one of my all-time favorite quotes is from Henry Ford, and he said, no one built a reputation based upon what they were going to do. So even though you may say you're going to do this and you're having struggles with getting there, then okay, step back and figure out, maybe you need to paint your why as a little bigger of a picture. And maybe you just need to break it down into more incremental steps. There are things you can do to accomplish anything that you want to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We call them micro goals, right? So, you know, when I wrote Organize Your Life, one of the things I talked about with clarity and certainty, there is no overwhelm. I'll have to send you a copy of the book, Matt. This whole concept of micro goals, I want to talk business since we're all entrepreneurs. So there are three things we're always doing in business. And this, I think, is going to help paint a perspective, because I love what you said. It's like we're packaging everything together. So I want everyone to write this down if you're taking notes. So we're only doing three things in business. So one is infrastructure. So that is our legal infrastructure, our LLCs, our NDAs that we have to have, our business plans, the KPIs, the key performance indicators. I have a post-it on my desk right now of, since this morning, three legal documents that I've got to produce in the infrastructure side of things for two companies today, right? And one is a PTO. And so if you don't know what that stands for, when you have employees, you do need to know what that stands for. But, you know, personal time off policy is what it stands for. So infrastructure is what we build our house on, the rock, not on the sand. And so what I see sometimes, Matt, is people, they're trying to start businesses and go, 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 but they don't have the infrastructure in place, right? So that's just, to even get a book on Amazon, that's an infrastructure play. First, you got to write the book. That's part of your infrastructure. And then you got to get it up on Amazon. There's a whole bunch of things. The second thing is awareness, brand awareness. It doesn't matter what business you're in, it's awareness. So Matt is the guest coach here today. I said, brother, you're my brother from another mother. I've got to introduce you to our community, right? So awareness. So I'm helping Matt create brand awareness with my audience. Then I'm going to be a guest on his show next week, creating brand awareness with his audience. And so the third thing is conversion. Conversion is where we take someone who's got an awareness of our brand, and now we're converting them to a client, to a sale, you know, and converting them to a lead, as an example. So those are the only three things we're really doing in business in our day-to-day. And when I see people who are getting overwhelmed, it's often because they're stopping and starting, because the ultimate thing is they don't really know what they're supposed to be focused on. And so that's one of the things I would say. And the other thing I would say, you know, going with the, you know, the micro goals and what Zig said, is that often we stop for the following reasons. We either have a fear of success or a fear of failure. Both of those fears are fabricated. Children are born only with two fears, the fear of loud noises and falling. So you are the best fictional fairy tale storyteller in your whole life. You all make J.K. Rowling look like she should never have made $1 billion on Harry Potter, because the stories you tell yourself, 100%. Most of them aren't true. Amen. Right? So thank you. We'll amen. Have an amen to that.
Well, one of my quotes is, the greatest enemy you'll ever face is the one that lives between your ears, and you will do more to stop you than any other person on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. I mean, for Pete's sake, we're on a call with I don't know how many people that want you to be successful. Anybody on this call would do anything for anyone on this call to help you become more successful. I guarantee that's true. But you will do more to stop you than anyone else. So yeah, figure out how that is to overcome that. And don't let that fear stop you. We use fear as an acronym, false evidence appearing real. You could stick your finger in your coat pocket, walk into a bank, just hold it up there and say, give me all your money. What does the teller think you have in your pocket? They think you have a gun. What do you have? You have a finger. No, yeah. I mean, if I did it here at our local bank, they'd be like, Matt, I'm going to call your mama. Get out of here. You know what I mean? But it's how do we overcome that fear that's not real? Because you're right. Ooh, JK ain't got nothing on us.
No. Yeah, think about it. If we had even a penny for every story we told ourselves, oh, they're not going to like me. They're not going to, you know, want to hear what I have to say. I mean, everyone here would be a billionaire. We have 60,000 thoughts a day. 80% of them are negative, and 80% of those thoughts are the same thoughts we thought the day before. So it's like, oh, no one is going to want to hear about my business. No one's going to sign up with me. No one's going to, you know, blah, 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 blah. I mean, seriously. So if you do the back of the envelope math, that's 40,000 pennies a day, right? So think about it, 40,000 pennies a day is about $400 a day. And take that, multiply it by the number of days that you have been on this earth, you have a lot of money. Right. We have another question. Marcia is in Texas. Do you want to jump out and ask your question, beautiful lady?
Yes, I do. You look so beautiful today, by the way. I love that color.
Oh, right, thank you. It's the shirt my wife gave me for Christmas.
Marcia, I'm loving the side braid, girl. And Matt, Marcia is launching an online business. And Marcia, I actually have to private message you because I need to hire you for AJ. So she's doing math with Marcia, just to give you a little bit of the background. She is a client at our agency, so she has a tremendous heart of service, especially to help young people, you know, high school age kids, understanding and not just getting math, but loving math. And so anyway, Marcia, go ahead and ask your question, girl.
Okay, so this is my question. As I've been preparing, one of the things I've been studying is learning styles. So in doing that, I realized something about me, that sometimes people may take it as procrastination or perfectionism, but it goes down to my learning style. And I have a combination of two learning styles, and one is logical. You know, I'm an engineer, so things need to make sense to me in order for me to understand it and apply it. And also, I have the need to understand. So it's like I have, you know, for me to look at something, I need to understand and see how everything fits together. You know, part of my education was in the automobile industry. So when I looked, I worked at General Motors. So I needed to understand that when the car got to the final line, every little detail and every little piece had to be in place so that car could drive off the line with no defects. So I also learned about me being an introvert when it comes to my learning. And it's interesting because I'm a selective introvert when it comes to my learning. I'm the type of person where in order for me to understand and put all those pieces together, that I'll have to sit and study it by myself. I learned differential equations from reading a book, you know, but that's the way I learn things. So one of my questions is that I'm learning to do, like, and doing a business, and there's a lot of infrastructure, as Susan mentioned, and pieces that are going, you know, together, a lot of moving parts. So I'm learning to implement as I go and implement as I grow. So what are some suggestions for me, considering, you know, my different styles of learning, which I'm glad I understand, because it's not necessarily all the time perfectionism or procrastination. I just have a need to know, but once I get all that, then I'm ready to fly. Like, you know, Susan talks about that J curve. I'm like at the bottom learning, but then as soon as I get it, I'm ready to explode exponentially. So can you give me, with the two of you, please give me some feedback on that question?
It's more of a statement, sister, as opposed to a specific question, but I can see, and I've got a couple questions in the hopper too. I can see Matt's like ready to jump out and say something.
We all have a style, right? I know what mine is. Mine is opposite of yours, right? That's not me, right? I'm the big picture, the idea guy, the one that likes to throw it all up there. And then people like you have the style of putting it all together so then it actually works. So when you're dealing with your personal style, Marcia, one of the things that I really caution is watch out for the paralysis of analysis. Sometimes you can get so caught up in making sure you've got every detail so perfectly aligned that you waste a lot of time implementing it and getting it started. And so I say, get out. Just part of it is know enough to make sure it's all good, but then go. And you, it's amazing how much you learn along the way. And I refer to the book because it's recent. I didn't know how to write a book from the beginning. If I had have studied how to write a book before we started writing a book, I'd still be studying, because you just don't know until you get in there. So sometimes you got to get out in the garden. You got to get going. You got to start planting those seeds, and then you tend to them as they begin to grow. Then you know really the gaps and the voids that you need to fill. And so that would be my thing. And now some of us, like me, my caution to myself is, okay, I know how I am. So I know I need to have someone else on my team to balance me out, right? And to be able to fill that void as well. So that's my counsel.
I love it. Yeah. And I would just say, Marcia, write this down. LI. Learn, implement. Like these Gen Z kids, they all go to YouTube University, right? They want to learn something. They go on YouTube, they find someone who's doing it, and then they go and implement it, and then they go back and they learn the next best way. And I think that there's a generational thing for a lot of us who grew up and, you know, were told, okay, go to school, get a good job, preferably one with a pension, and we bought into the right thing for that time. We're no longer living in that world, because the speed of information, by the time you learn something, you know, you're an engineer, by the time you learn something, especially say in the tech world, it's already obsolete, right? So like Matt said, he didn't go, how do I write a book and you know, do all that. He, you know, you learn, implement. So, you know, my advice to you is just get going and get this business launched and learn as you go, because version one is better than version none.
And I'll show you this too. We've got this entire program built that we're taking into an online platform. And what this is the beginning, what we started with is nothing that it looks like now. And the only how you know that is to actually get started in it and start trying it out and seeing where your gaps and your holes are. But you're not going to know that until you start. So,
yeah, there you go, girl. All right. Amanda wants to jump out. Amanda, you're up next.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Oh, awesome. Okay, so last week you gave me some homework about asking 10 people what my gifts are. Mm-hmm. So, because I had to ask the question, why would anybody listen to me? that was my biggest. And I realized that I am an introvert too mm-hmm. on this call. So anyways, the answer to that is I'm kind, loving, giving, and a helpful person. And I have a gift of compassion and empathy. And I'm a very positive person. I've grown a lot over the past 4 years. And I'm open to personal and spiritual growth as well, even more now. And when people talk to me, they feel how much I care about them. And I make everyone in my life feel loved. And those are the types of people that I want to attract into my business too. And I decided to just use, like you said, just ask how God wants to use me. And it's been a lot easier this week to talk to people.
Oh,
and it's been so helpful. And I actually asked 12 people instead of 10.
How many people were here last week? Doesn't Amanda even look different? Like, doesn't she? She's just glowing. Yeah, Kaz is like, yeah, she's. And if you're listening on podcast, you won't see her, but she is glowing, confident, and the homework that I gave her, if you didn't hear that episode or watch it, was that asking her to go and ask people what her gifts are, because she had bought in. It goes back into Matt, this story of, I don't have any gifts. Why would people want to listen to me? If any of you are listening right now and you are struggling with that, go ask 10 people what they feel your gifts are, because your perspective is probably skewed. It is probably skewed and messed up. Yes. And so thank you, Amanda, for that. We have a couple more questions that we want to get.
Can I give Amanda one word?
Yes, please.
Amanda, I love coming up with one words. I feel God puts like one word to describe somebody that you need. And your word is confidence. And there's a quote. It's an old ancient quote. It says, and what's the guy's name that came up with it? Just left my head. It says, an army of sheep led by a lion will always defeat an army of lions led by a sheep. So by being able to just see the confidence in yourself, you'll knock it out of the park, because you guys have a spirit that just makes people want to like you. So that's huge. That's an instant connection that very few people have.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Amanda, for jumping out. I'm so proud of you. You're just glowing. Girl, you got the halo happening.
I'm so happy. Thank you.
You are welcome. Well, there's a question about prospecting for new clients on Facebook, and I'll start with that one. So in your social media world, your infrastructure set up. Okay, so I will talk about Facebook specifically. So first we set the infrastructure, right? So having a business page, especially if you're going to run ads, and having a personal page. So what a lot of people do is they start with their personal page and they say, hey, you know, I'm going to, you know, post stories, and I'm going to use hashtags and hashtag on my stories. Maybe you pick several hashtags, and, you know, you can do that stuff. I'm going to create interesting posts, and anyone who comments, I'm going to direct message them. All of those things are free, and Facebook is a platform to do that. Though I just want to caution that Facebook, in the phases of business, we start at baby, then we go to toddler, and then we go to child, then we go to rebellious teenager, and then adult, and then, you know, so on and so forth. If you've ever heard me do that training on businesses, well, guess what? Facebook right now is a bit like the rebellious teenager. And even since January, they have been all over the map. So, recently, Mark Zuckerberg decided, hey, I'm going to get rid of a bunch of my board members, and I'm going to retake control, and I'm going to start making decisions. And so they've done things like, oh, okay, we're not going to sanction anyone. And people can post whatever they want about COVID, whatever they want about elections, they could do whatever. Then they went and said, no, people can't do that. And now our artificial intelligence is going to follow all the hashtags. And just to give you an example, in my direct sales group, I went to attempt to post healthy Memorial Day weekend recipes, and Facebook didn't let me post the link. Just to give you an example. So they're the rebellious teenager. One day they're like, yeah. One day they're like, no. So if you're building your business only on Facebook, it is like building your dream home on rented land. And you can have a t-shirt of that if you want, if that makes you happy. But that being said, Facebook wants you to have a business page if you're a business, because you can advertise and you can boost, though they have rules that really do change every single day. So my best advice for prospecting on Facebook is, number one, don't rely solely on Facebook. Number two, have both a business page and a personal page. And, you know, people say to me, well, what should I post on my business page? Your only purpose for having a business page is, if you are a business, is so you can do, whether it's dollar a day advertising, $2 a day, we teach you all that stuff, how to do that. You know, that's why you would have it. So let me give you an example. So if Matt was an agency client and we're trying to get his reach for his book, what I would have Matt do is create somewhere in the neighborhood of 5 to 7 one-minute videos. I would want him to tell the story of Katie, another video about the bacterial infection, a story about how he's navigated stress in his own life, why he wrote the book. Then we're going to take all those one-minute videos and we are going to boost each of them off his business page for $1 a day. So Marcia is the math genius. I failed calculus in university, but I do know 7 times 1 is what, y'all? 7. So we're asking Matt to spend $7 a day. Then we're going to look at which of his videos get the highest engagement. And then you know how much we're going to spend? $2 a day on that video. And then if it's good, we're going to spend $3 a day. So that's what we do. And that's why you would do that. So the other reason you would have a business page if you're a business is so you can get reviews. So one of the things we're saying with Marcia is she needs her business page because we want her to get 5-star reviews. Facebook reviews are very, very important, right? And you may even have, if you've written a book, your book may have its own Facebook business page so that book can get reviews. So it's right now Facebook says that's free. A public figure page is a business page. It's the same thing. It just means you can advertise. And so my biggest piece of advice, if you are going to use Facebook as a platform for prospecting, is set up your infrastructure. For those of you using it in network marketing, I'm going to go on a Susan rant, and I'm going to tell you right now, the FDA and the FTC is watching hashtags. So if you hashtag COVID-19, if you hashtag quarantine-15, if you hashtag anything, the FDA and the FTC are watching y'all, and they are slapping fines on people. They are big fines on individuals and companies. So do not say, oh, well, I have a health company and I'm going to prospect on Facebook and I'm going to say, oh, thank God I get to work from home and make $2,000 hashtag COVID-19, because you could get the FTC calling you and don't want that, right? So the thing is, if you're a business, you also need to have a business page. And that is why, if you are using Facebook to grow your business, that is fantastic, but do it in a very smart way. At the agency, I will tell you, I'm going to do just an unsolicited plug. At the agency, starting in August, we are going to be running social media for brands on Instagram. And so Avery, my daughter, she is going to be coming aboard full time. She is brilliant. She runs Instagram for brands right now. She was just on television again this morning. And I want to give props out to Jessica. Jessica's taken Avery's course. Jessica's done, you know, all the things I told her to do. She got herself in Forbes. She got herself in the New York Times, and it cost her nothing, which is what we're all about, free. So that service is coming. And then also at the UME event, we're going to teach you how to run ads. We're going to teach you how to do $1 a day. We got Dennis Yu there. We've got Kieran O'Brien there. We've got people who actually do this stuff for brands, for a living. They charge lots and lots of money to do it. And they're going to teach you how to do it for free. So that's the big thing. So that's my rant on Facebook.
I like it.
Thanks, Jess. I appreciate that. And I love marketing. I love the creativity behind it. I love my biggest thing in our passion at the agency is we want to teach people how to do things for free or little money. Because even if you end up hiring people to do it for you, it's like speaking a whole other language. Once I start talking about pixels and retargeting and A/B testing, and if you don't know how to speak that language, you're going to spend a lot of money. Believe me, the reason I started the agency, because I spent $500,000 on agencies and PR and it didn't do anything for me. I said, I have to learn this stuff. I have to take responsibility. So then I was like, oh my gosh, how many other people who are speakers and so on and consultants are wasting money? What if we could teach them this stuff? And that's where that all came from, right? So that's my little rant on that. Matt, I want you to close us out. We have 3 minutes. That was my Facebook advertising rant, but
I love it.
I'm passionate about it.
I like it too, as you should be. Hello, it's what you, it's not what you do, it's who you are, and it's how you help people, which is phenomenal. I would close it all out by saying this. We have, how many of us have tried some type of life change program, a diet, an exercise program, whatever, and or started a new business or looked to increase our presence or whatever? How many of us have tried those things and they've failed? Obviously, most of us have, and I'm one of those. And so total transparency here. The one thing that we didn't address, that I didn't address in myself, was the stress factor first. Now that we've started addressing stress and stopping that inflow, unplugging that battery charger of stress, then you can start putting in the good, the positive, and the pure. And when you can do that, then you can, then people will just see it in you and they're drawn to it like a magnet. The world needs people who can deliver hope to them. We live in a world that is stressed out, and we know that within you, you all, every one of you have the power to do more, be more, and have more than you ever thought possible. You just have to be willing to get over yourself long enough to get there. So I would encourage you to get over yourself, get out there so that you can be that beacon, be that person of hope that, as I say, you're not just good, you're gooder. I mean, we know that in you. So that's my encouragement to you is that you can do that. And really at the end of the day too, we're asking you to give constantly to other people and to a mission or to a cause. I'm also going to say something that's probably a little controversial. The first thing that I want you to do is give to yourself, because if you don't fill your own cup, there's nothing going to be there for somebody else. So do things that can put into you the good, the positive, and the pure, so that then you can fill that out to other people, so that then you can handle the daily stresses that come along and you don't lose sight of what the ultimate goal and what the ultimate why is. You're capable of far more than you could ever even imagine. And so we hope that you can handle that and you can get out there.
Thanks so much, Matt. And everyone needs to get your book, Stress Free You. Like, who doesn't want to be stress free? Like, hello.
I read the book. Like, I wrote the book, and then it comes back from the editor. And I told Katie, I said, I sat down and I read the book again. I said, I kind of like this. I think I need this book. So if you want the book, it's on Amazon. You can follow us at stressforyou.net. Our webs, our podcast is weekly the same. Next week's guest is going to be pretty epic.
Oh, thank you.
So follow us and feel free to reach out either at info@stressforyou.net or on Facebook at mattrush.com. And I would be glad to help any way that I can. So thanks for having me, friend.
Well, thanks, Matt, and have a beautiful Memorial Day weekend.
Thank you.
And there are people watching, listening, you know, all over the world. And my advice to all of you is, you know, as the Nike slogan says, just do it.
That's right.
All right. God bless everyone. This has been another episode of Free Coaching. And next week, I'm going to have another amazing, amazing guest. And if you would like to have Matt back, just let me know, because I'd love to have Matt back.
I would too.
Woohoo! Let's do it. All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Have a good day.
To find out more about Susan or hire her to speak, go to www.susansly.com. You can also find Susan on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn.